Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this race weekend. Quaker State 400 available at Walmart, taking place this weekend out at Atlanta Motor Speedway. We have got just like white hot anticipation for what is going on at Mercedes-Benz later today. We're going to talk about that. As we come back, you got a famous female singer here today. I'm going to throw this out there for you, Sam. Would have been Patsy Cline's birthday today.
Ah.
Now, is she the first woman in country music, or is that Loretta Lynn?
I'm thinking Loretta Lynn.
Well, what's Patsy?
She's right there with you.
She influenced Loretta.
Yep. Yeah. Oh.
She got some kind of title. Somebody call us and let us know. And it would have been Richard the Lionheart's birthday today, the King of England.
Mm.
Yeah. So there you go. Patsy Cline and Richard the Lionheart. So anyway, on this 8th day of September, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from Selah Thomas, new Cub reporter. I was up here this week, and our own Mike Conti could not have been more proud of you to enlist her as one of your reporters and using that term. Because it's like a term, A, you don't hear that much anymore.
No.
And B, he was one of them. He goes, that's where I got my start as a Cub reporter. So he was over the moon excited that you extended this to Selah. So we're going to talk to her coming up here. But we got a friend of the show.
All right.
Bring him on?
Yeah, man, absolutely. We haven't checked in with him for a minute.
It's been a minute. He was watching golf last time, right?
Yeah, I know it, but he's doing so many. He's watching a lot of things. And I just said we really need to hear from him. This
yes.
week, always great to catch up with him, though. Gabriel Stovall, welcome back to the morning show.
Morning, Gabriel.
What's up, Sam? What's up, Greg? How y'all doing on this fine Sunday morning?
We have you, so we're doing good now.
I like it. I like it, man. It's so good to be here. So good to hear y'all's voices today, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Great to have you on. We know, and I'm going to let you go on and crow about your home, folks, the Nebraska. Yeah, I know you
already know it. Listen, man, you already know it. My boys took care of business yesterday. I'm so excited.
Yeah, what are we seeing, though? Are we seeing Nebraska really being back? Are we seeing, you know, them taking advantage of Colorado with a lot of influx of transfer guys coming in and not really being the team we thought they're going to be? Or are they, Colorado, not that team, and Nebraska really is ready to ascend to the place we saw them for so many years?
You know what, Sam? I mean, I think it's a little too early to just go ahead and say we're back, because every time we've done that before, then we, you know, lose to directional Michigan or something like that. But I will say that I do believe what we're seeing and what we saw with Nebraska, Colorado is honestly like a contrast in styles, man. And I think what it also is that no matter how much we talk about, like, the new things with transfer portal and the NIL and all this stuff with college football and how it's changing and revolutionizing the game, I still think there's something to be said about the fact that you still got to build a team from a traditional standpoint. You still got to recruit the high school ranks. You still have to develop. Coaching is still a thing. And I just think that you saw, you know, yesterday kind of a referendum of those two different types of styles of program building. With Colorado, you know, everybody talked about, oh, they brought in all these five-star transfer portal people to build their offensive line. And you saw how porous their offensive line was. Then you look over Nebraska, they're not back to pipeline status of the 1990s, but they're good. And you've got guys who've been playing together for 2, 3, 4 years, and you can't build your trenches in a flash-in-the-pan process through the transfer portal. That just doesn't happen. So, you know, I think that's what we're seeing more of. I think just Nebraska's on a really good trajectory. They still got a long way to go. Freshman quarterback, gotta love him. I know he was pledged to Georgia for a while. He was at Buford, got the chance to see him in high school last year. But I love it, man. I'm on cloud. I couldn't even sleep last night. I was
look
so
at him. Look at this dude, man. I tell you,
it's been a long time since we had that kind of a win, man. So I was like, this is good.
Hey, man, it's your sports rep, Gabriel Stovall, who, of course, harkens back to the days of Tom Osborne, and Nebraska grad here joining Sam and Greg.
Real Nebraska.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, man, speaking of Nebraska, we haven't talked to you since the boys joined the Big Ten. What are your thoughts on this conference? Because at some point this year, you got to go up against Ohio State.
Well, you know, and that's why I say, you know, that's why I'm like, you know, hey, put the Kool-Aid down, or at least if you're going to drink it, sip it. Don't just chug it, you know, because we've got the Big Ten is – this is not your grandfather's Big Ten. You know, you've got now you've got USC. You've got – you know, Nebraska's going to have to make a trip to USC in the later on down there. You got Oregon, like you said, going into the Shoe in Columbus, Ohio State. You know, those team, Michigan, we saw Michigan get something pretty good to a good Texas team yesterday, but they have a very good, solid Big Ten defense. So I think Nebraska's on the way, but they still got some work to do, man. I you know, with apologies to Coach Prime and the folks of Colorado, like I don't think Colorado is a great football team, but we haven't beaten a non-conference Power 5 or Power 4 now opponent in like 6 years. So we're going to take what we get, man.
All right. Let's spend the time this morning with Gabriel Stovall. He's with us. And he is social. You can find him at Gabriel C. Stovall or find his work at Augusta Press Sports at Augusta Press Sports. What's happening down I-20? What's the story we ought to be on the lookout for?
Fantastic stuff happening in football, man. You know, it's a basketball town. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of good football out here. We had the privilege of covering our game of the week this past Friday was Lakeside Evans versus Evans High School. So you're talking about a crosstown, in-county rivalry. And it was the first time in 33 meetings that they had come into the game undefeated. With a minimum of 2 games played. Now, here's a young cat. He's a senior, but 5'10" senior quarterback named Ty Jones from Lakeside Evans. If you don't know who that is, if you've never heard of him, if you've never seen him, you want to go get on Huddle.com or something and watch some highlights of that kid. Coach Steve Hibbetts from Lakeside said, "This is the best football player I've coached." He's been at Lakeside for like 10 years. Of course, you think it's hyperbole. Then you see him. He scored as a quarterback with his legs, with his arm. He scored as a punt returner. He made several plays on defense and helped Lakeside to get the 3-0, I think, for the first time since 2019. And it's not a fluke, man. That's a good squad. You've got a great Aquinas squad out there with 6'4" Davidson quarterback commit Jim Franklin. They've got a great team. There's a lot of good football being played down on the east side of I-20, man. And so we're pretty excited about what the prospects of this season have to hold.
Fantastic, fantastic, folks. We talk about high school football. Of course, the story that we've been following this week, any of us who cover high school athletics and care about young people and putting out the positive stories about them, as you consistently do, troubled by what happened up at Appalachia this week. You know, I don't know your thoughts, you know, on that, you know, first of all. And, you know, just it just brings us back to earth a little bit. But I'm really take heart by all of the things that people did around the state.
Yeah.
On Friday night, we saw the Cals with the letter A on the back of some helmets. We saw up at Jefferson, instead of the J in the middle of the field, they put an A. And a lot of teams observe a moment of silence before, just to feel some type of solidarity and support for these young people.
Man, it was, you know, it's hard for me to say it was great. I mean, it was great that people were doing those things. It just sucks that it's what they were doing it for, you know, and so like Appalachian High School, prayers go out to that community, to the Winder and Barrow County community. It kind of struck a chord because as you know, also I still do journalism work with Newton County Journal, a publication that I started in the Covington, Newton County area. I have a sports crew that's covering that community well. And they showed me how when Eastside was playing Archer at Sharp Stadium in Covington this past Friday, how Eastside made a nice, really classy tribute to Appalachian High on the video board at Sharp Stadium. And it's crazy because it really is like a next-door neighbor to the Newton County folks. Like, it's maybe a 45, 50-minute drive from Covington to where Appalachian High School is. And so it really hit close to home to the folks in Newton County, man. And so I love the fact that, and I always tell people this, when if you could just bottle up the camaraderie that we find from our sports communities, sports fans, we always kind of, when tragedy hits or different things of that nature, we always kind of forget our differences, and we always kind of forget about who votes for who in politics and all that, and we come together. And I'm like, man, if you could bottle that up and pour it out on some of the other stuff in our world, it would be amazing. We would get a lot of problems solved. But, you know, I love the camaraderie. I love what we saw from people. I just wish we could find a way to limit these kinds of tragedies in our schools, man. Of course, hit home with the football community at Appalachia High, because I think it was their defensive coordinator was one of the four that was killed in that situation, man. So our prayers, our thoughts continue to go out to them. And we hope that, you know, as every time somebody sees one of these situations, it brings us closer to actually sitting down and creating some solutions that can help remedy some of this, man. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, we appreciate you spending some time this morning. Okay, now you on your way. You got your sermon for this morning.
Yeah, where you headed, man?
I got it, man. Okay. I'm headed up to Covington, and as we speak, and then I'm going to preach there this morning, and then coming back to Augusta. We've got an afternoon service. I'm preaching there this afternoon, man, and I'm going to take me a little after-church nap, and then I'm going to get up and start looking ahead to the next week and seeing how we're going to cover some things, man. So the work never stops.
Gabriel, I'm going to put you on the spot here just for a minute, and what you just said capsulizes Sam and I's thoughts eloquently. It really did, and didn't want to add to that. But since you mentioned putting a sermon together, and if you could, off the top, because we know we got some folks up in that area, in the Winder area, listening right now, if you wanted to say something to them as if you were in the pulpit right now, some kind of message or something that you could pass on to them.
Yeah, man. Well, I you know, one of the things that always encourages me is, I think it's in the book of Psalms, Psalm 30, verse 5. And it's a scripture that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I know people are like, well, how can I be joyful over the loss of loved ones, over the loss of this, over the loss of that? And I say, you know, you just never know how strong you can be, how resilient you can be, and how just amazingly just have a bounce back mentality about yourself until you're forced to have to deal with it. And I know it's hurting. I know people are hurting and frustrated right now, and they're mad and they're angry. But I also know that for those that believe in God, and for those that have a faith foundation, God always has a way of turning even the darkest moments into a way that makes us look back and say, you know what? It sucked that it had to happen, but I actually can see God's hand in this. And so I just want to just offer that to folks. Just stay encouraged. Hold tight to your faith if you have that. Hold tight to your trust and belief in God. All things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Even if it doesn't feel good, some kind of way God knows how to make things work for our good. And so I'm just praying that people will just hold on to that, and that some brighter days will come soon for that community.
Yeah.
Amen.
We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning and bringing that to us, especially for the folks out at Appalachia. Gabriel, we appreciate you. Have a wonderful day today, and stay in touch. We're going to circle back with you some, man.
Yeah, man. Enjoy your football Sunday, Gabriel.
I certainly will, man. Thank you guys for allowing me this opportunity. Y'all have a great day as well.